It's a sophisticated one. It's well developed within the European Union. And therefore, I think actually to many major companies located in England or located in Scotland and abroad are concerned to have as much certainty as possible, given the world. There are some things in the world you can't control, but this is obviously an important decision for this marketplace.
That's the CBI's president, Sir Mike Rake, speaking to our business and economy editor, Douglas Fraser. It is 8:16.
And as we've been hearing this morning, the world's oldest clipper ship, the City of Adelaide, is on the move for the first time in more than 20 years. Engineers have surrounded her in a huge supportive cradle, and she's being driven onto a barge, which will take her first to London, and to the start of her journey to South Australia. The Scottish Government decided that was the only way to save the vessel after the Scottish Maritime Museum failed to raise the cash for restoration work. Sending her to Adelaide was one of the options considered by a special conference convened in Glasgow by the Duke of Edinburgh. Well, our reporter Hugh Williams was granted a rare exclusive interview with the Duke, and Hugh is live this morning for us at Irvine. Hugh.
Bill, yes, good morning. What's actually happened overnight is that the City of Adelaide clipper, the oldest clipper ship in the world, has moved, but perhaps perversely, she's moved some 25 or 30 metres further inland, away from Australia and away from the barge that will carry her on that journey. That's because they've had to work to build a ramp so that they can drive her up onto the barge. Then, as you say, she'll go to London. Then she'll have to be comprehensively decontaminated so she meets all the requirements of the Australia Quarantine and Inspection Service. And then she can travel in the hold of an enormous cargo vessel. And it'll take maybe some 6 months or so before she arrives in Adelaide, where she's destined to be the centrepiece of a maritime heritage park. The Duke of Edinburgh has played an important part in that story. He's an enthusiast for maritime history. Last year, which was the last time it looked as though the vessel was on the move, I went to Buckingham Palace to talk to him about this move from the Scottish Maritime Museum.
They couldn't find any money to do anything with her. They couldn't find anybody to look after her. And they couldn't do anything to her because she was on land, she'd become a listed building. If she'd been in the water, they could have demolished her. So the Scottish Maritime Museum was in a pickle, poor things. They were up against it, whatever happened. So the point about the conference is the Maritime Trust Conference. And I got all the people who were sort of interested and involved in the thing to see whether there was some sort of solution that could be found. And we found that there were these two projects. One was the Maritime Museum in Scotland, if it could get the funds. It was the Sunderland, where she was built. They were proposing to take her to Sunderland. And there was Adelaide. And so we said, well, look, you know, make up your minds. Who's going to raise the money?
And I know that the group who've obviously now successfully got her on her way to Adelaide credit that conference and you with taking their proposal seriously. They say that was the first time anyone seriously believed that this was a realistic proposition.
Well, they made the proposition. I mean, we looked at anything that was available. It struck me that it was rather a long shot because it's probably quite an expensive exercise. But then I thought there was a genuine interest in her, I think, in Adelaide. And she'd had a close connection because she'd travelled to and fro and took passengers as well as freight.
I think they reckon that something like between a quarter and half a million people who live in South Australia can claim descent from migrants who travelled out there on the City of Adelaide or the Carrick.
So there's a bigger connection with Adelaide than there is with Sunderland, for instance.
Do you have any sympathy for people in Sunderland who might feel a bit disappointed that they weren't successful in getting the Carrick, the City of Adelaide, back there? It is, after all, her home where she was built.
No, she's not her home, it's where she was built. Quite different. Well, yes, I mean, but then it was a competition. I mean, they didn't raise the money.
I would like to understand a little bit more about why you personally became so involved in this issue. It's clearly something that you're passionate about and you think is important.
Well, these clipper ships, if you come to think of it, up until about 150, 200 years ago, all ships plying the oceans were driven by wind. And then suddenly we introduced machinery. And so now all ships are driven by machinery. The only sail-driven ships are yachts and things of that sort. And so there's a cut in the whole of maritime history at that stage. And it seems to me that it would interest future generations to see what these pre-machine era ships were like, commercial ships. So we've got Cutty-Sark. There's Victory, which is there for another reason. And there are a number of other ships of that period. And then there is the Warrior and the Great Britain, who are even more interesting because they come between the two. They're driven by sail and by machinery.
I still wonder if you can explain why we ought to care about the maritime history of this country. Clearly, we're an island nation. If you think about it for a moment, it speaks for itself. But it's clearly something which you have been passionate about and committed to. And I would like a little bit to understand why you feel this is something that we need to take seriously, why this history is worth preserving.
You don't think it is?
I'm asking you, sir, to explain.
No, you seem to doubt it.
Well, the fact that you needed to take these initiatives meant that there was a need there, perhaps.
There is a huge interest in our maritime history. And I think that what we did, this was largely a result of Frank Carr, who was the director of the Maritime Museum, who was passionate about keeping the ships that were still available. Because the old Implacable, she was a wooden wall naval ship, was taken out and sunk. And he was so horrified by it that he said, well, we're not going to do that again. Mind you, it's like any museum, you never collect anything that's going to be interesting. I could never persuade the Maritime Museum. I said, let's keep this or that. Why? There's lots of them. I said, yes, but
There won't be, I suppose.
Yeah. Why don't we collect things now instead of when they're rare?
So thank you very much indeed.
And that's the Duke of Edinburgh talking there to Hugh Williams. And Hugh's still with us in Irvine. What's happening now, Hugh?
Well, the work is completing to finish that ramp that I was speaking about. Then she's been mounted in a cradle. That cradle has been given 192 motorised wheels, each of them independently driven, independently suspension, independently able to align themselves so as to cope with the bumps on the way. She'll be driven onto the barge, down to London, as I say, decontaminated, and then off to Adelaide. It's supposed to take her maybe 6 months to get there. We should say, though, that there was this rival proposal from Sunderland, and I think they would argue that they don't think they're dead in the water yet. They see the move to London out of the influence of the Scottish Government as perhaps an opportunity. They hope that they might be able, even at this extraordinary late stage, to get the export of the vessel blocked. The group that are taking to Adelaide don't think that stands much chance, but that certainly would be the line that you get if you talk to the group from Sunderland.
OK. Thanks very much. We'll wait and see what happens. Hugh Williams there in Ayrshire with the City of Adelaide.
8:25, sailing majestically on the airwaves. Kay Adams, good morning.
Here's an old tugboat. we're asking this morning if our schools have become too academic. Sir Ian Wood, who has chaired the Commission for Developing Scotland.